All right, this time is the winner. We get
restart.
Redo.
Start it again. Okay, go.
Is it a reboot?
Yeah.
Is that that's what they call it? Reboots now.
Okay, go ahead. Start it.
Oh come on! No, we did like the
reboot. Reboot.
Yeah.
You have to see a computer voice though, like in an old timey IBM like computer voice.
I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that voice.
Rebooting. Rebooting. Is that it? Is that the voice?
Yeah, that's it. All right. Hello and welcome to episode 577 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. In Tubingen, Germany, is that what I say?
Yeah, yeah. There's a big delay. I was gonna say Adam. You paused so long that I thought it was my turn. It was my turn to say. Or I thought you're frozen. You're in the what's it called when you freeze?
Freezing. What do you mean?
In computer language, when it's frozen.
Oh, in IBM voice?
Yeah.
Okay, deer in headlights. No, what? Is that what you meant?
I don't know. You know when the spinning computer beach freezes? No.
Get that, the pinwheel of death?
No, not that.
I don't know what it's called. Shift Apple. Okay. Escape. I don't know what are we getting at. My point is, I was doing the intro, and then partway through, I could not get your IBM voice out of my head.
Oh gosh, reboot. So,
reboot this. Hello and welcome to Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver. Now I can't not do the voice. I think it's my voice.
I thought you were going to say Hal. This is Hal. You know, fun fact, I mean, everyone knows this by now. Everyone knows why the computer in 2001 was named Hal, right?
You've said it before. I forgot long ago, but you can say it again. Tell us all again. We need to know.
They were big big fans of Hal Linden.
Oh.
No, because it's H is the letter before
stands
I.
Stands for something, right?
A before B, and then L is before M. So the joke was it was one better than IBM.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Makes sense. That's why I faked the moon landings. Good job, Kubrick. All right. What's going on, Adam?
Just another day, man. Another day.
It's January, right?
Yeah.
You guys have football playoffs, though, right?
Oh, my goodness. I watched 1.5 games of football yesterday, and there's 2 more on the docket today. I'll probably watch pieces of both of those games, too.
Does Michael Irvin still play?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he probably is really good.
I think I mean, I don't know because there's so many different panels and networks, and I don't know which network he's on, but you do see him around. So he's still out there, but now as a broadcaster and an analyst. And he's actually, I mean, you wouldn't expect him from his playing days to be sort of a guy that you'd want to hear talk on television as an analyst, because he's one of those, kind of reminds me like as a showboaty kind of like one of those guys that maybe playmaker. But one of those guys that's sort of a cocky guy that was not necessarily going to be analyst type material. And
like Barkley?
Charles Barkley's fantastic. And actually, so is Shaquille O'Neal. I wouldn't have thought Shaquille O'Neal, because of that voice maybe, although he was good in Shazam.
He was good in Shazam.
but Michael Irvin, I don't know, it sort of struck me as a guy that he had all sorts of off the field problems and drug issues. Like, I just wouldn't have thought he was that analyst guy, but he's good. Yeah.
I love him and Deion Sanders together, man. When they like, I've seen them on talk shows and stuff like that. Fantastic.
Well, there is very similar type of personality there too, right? Like, they always had that I'm better than everyone sort of type of personas. And then the other guy that's good too, that sort of, again, hasn't been around for a while, but used to do the panels more. Another wide receiver like Irvin, because Irvin was a wide receiver. Keyshawn Johnson. No, Keyshawn Johnson, who was another guy that was like, cocky guy. Like, if he plays for your team, you like him. But he's just arrogant, cocky, almost in the media when he was playing for some of the not great reasons. I mean, I might be projecting on poor Keyshawn because he, I don't think, had the same problems that Irving did. But anyways, good analyst. It seems like a lot of wide receivers that do it. Well, what's the other? Randy Moss is sometimes on there. Again, another troubled wide receiver that kind of bounced around to a number of teams. So now I'm just naming wide receivers that are analysts now.
Okay. You know, speaking of play-by-play guys or color commentary or whatever they do, whatever you call them, analysts now, right?
They're just panel guys. Like, I don't panel know. Guys. They don't do that. They're not in the booth, guys. They're guys that they go to at halftime, and they all kind of do the roundtable thing.
Right. But Al Michaels, I wanted to bring up Al Michaels because we watched over the Friday. We had to split it. But over Friday and Saturday night, I introduced my kids to a little show called Miracle.
Oh, that's funny you bring that up. Jack watched that this week.
Here's a fun fact for you that I think you already knew. Because I heard there was, what's his name? Bill Simmons does a podcast called The Rewatchables about movies that he likes to loves to rewatch. It's right there in the name. This last week they did Miracle, and so it was kind of funny. So he's talking about, hey, fun fact about Miracle: they auditioned over 4,000 hockey players came out and auditioned for that movie. And here's a fun fact that you didn't know. Maybe I was one of them. Me and your brother-in-law went out. Now, to be fair, it was an open casting call. It wasn't like they called me, and I did not get far. But I went out and he and I read for that to be in that movie.
Okay.
So there you go. And
so you're tied. You're tied for movies that you're not in.
Me and who?
My brother-in-law.
No, because I also read for Mystery Alaska and didn't get that one. I'm not even joking you. I swear to you, that's a true story. That was 98. I think I just got back from film school. No, it was just before film school. It was like 97. It was the end of 97. And they had an open casting call out at that one was at what do you call it? Who was the one in North Van? The figure skater. Karen Magnuson Arena.
Okay.
So went out there and I read for that one. Didn't get a sniff on that one either. And then ended up looking like all the extras were like big time Canadian actors. So it wasn't like I was even gonna get close. Like it was like Russell Crowe was the main guy, and then like I think Adam Beach was an extra in that movie. So, anyways, so we watched Miracle, and my son was in tears during he's so into it. During the scene after when they played the exhibition game against, was it Finland? And they just did lose to Finland in the preseason thing there.
Right.
And he keeps him on the ice and again, makes him skate the lines again. He lost it. He grabbed on a mom and he's just, it's not fair. He's just crying for these guys. Like he's so upset. And my daughter hated the movie. So upset that the next night we were going to finish it. She's like, let's watch something else. And I said, okay, fine. You can go into your room by yourself. And then she didn't. 5 minutes in, she was just loving it. Like once we got to that final game, my kids were just on the edge of their seat. Couldn't wait. So great movie. Check it out.
Yeah. No, it is a good movie. Mystery Alaska, not as good.
Mystery Alaska is terrible. That's a terrible movie. Do not watch it.
I wouldn't say it's terrible. It's
when's just, the last time you saw it?
I actually watched it like a couple of weeks ago. Swear. I just did. I just found myself like in the mood for a hockey movie.
Yeah. That wasn't it.
No,
you can't watch that one. It's just not good at all. Meanwhile. But it's funny because Miracle, when they were filming that. That was back when Kurt Russell's son was playing goalie for the Sockeyes.
Right.
And so they were living here at the time, and they were going to all the games. So him and Goldie Hawn would come to all the games. And I remember standing out, like sitting in the stands, and look over next to me, and I'm like, that's like one of my favorite actors. It was a guy named Noah Emmerich, who was played the assistant coach in the movie. And he'd been in, he's you knew him from, the Truman Show and a movie called Beautiful Girls, and I loved him in that, and I was like, oh man. So I was like, hey, I said hello, and I also didn't get that part either. He just like, yeah, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Oh, you tried to be in this movie and didn't know? Yeah, we're not going to be friends either. So it's a big day of rejection for you. But here we are. Hey, he does not have the longest running weekly photo podcast in the world, does he?
No. All I remember when you said Beautiful Girls is that's an Uma Thurman movie, right?
She's in it. Yep.
Yeah. That's all I remember. It's like Uma Thurman. You said that and I'm like, Uma's in that.
That's good. I'm glad you could have gone, hey, Natalie Portman's in that. And I would have phoned the authorities on you. So
is she? Is she in it as well?
Yeah, but she's like 11-teen. And so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the point. Timothy Hutton. Got bit offside. Bit offside, Timothy.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Uma was like a heartthrob back in those days. Do you call it, is it called a heartthrob, or is that a term only used for the men?
I think that's for the men. I actually don't know. I think that's
bombshell.
A
is bombshell the female equivalent? Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a bombshell. I think heartthrob is like for like Ralph Macchio, Tiger Beat magazine kind of thing.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Later on, he became the guy. But it was Rob Lowe, Matt Dillon, basically the cast of The Outsiders.
Patrick Swayze.
He was too old for at that point, I think.
Okay.
He was much older than those guys. Yeah.
Okay, we've got a little off topic. Yeah.
Big fan of The Outsiders, though.
No, actually on topic because we're not really, this is the topic, right?
It might be the topic, yeah. Sheer boredom. All right, Patreon. That's what we're getting at. If you want to help us out, go to our website, twohosers.com, find the Patreon link, and a couple bucks a month really helps us out. I keep getting emails for, hey, you have to renew this web domain, that domain, this and the up this. So there is money involved. I don't know if you knew that, Adam.
Like someone dropping off just like bags of it on my door.
No, the other way around. There's money involved in me having to pay for web domains and web hosting.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
There's all of that. So anything, like, we appreciate it. Like, because we stopped with the support from that other company a while ago.
So okay, we're not even naming them now. The company to not be named. Hey, I'm looking out the window right now, and it looks like there's a delivery with someone dropping off a giant bag of money on my doorstep.
Yep. Okay, good. And you can pay for the domain names this month.
That's the third time today already. Giant bag. Different carriers bringing.
Is it Scrooge McDuck? That would be great if it was. All right. So what's going on over here? I'll tell you, Adam. A lot of building. I am going nuts on trying to finish up this whole mudroom project this week so that my kids can still use it for the bulk of the winter. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. All right.
So a lot of painting going on, doing some wiring. How much wiring did you do today? Like rewiring lights and light switches and stuff?
Not a lot, but it's early. It's early in the day. I've got a lot of planned.
Yeah. Wiring's fine. I don't mind wiring. Here's a fun tip for you. Turn off the fuse before you get into the wires.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
If you're a super pro and you know what you're doing, I don't think you have to, but I always turn it off because, wow, that would suck.
Yeah. I feel like the pros do. I think I feel like it's just one of those things that even the pros do, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I always triple check everything. And because I have been electrocuted once and like not doing that, but something else. And it's every bit as what you imagine it to be, getting electrocuted. So just try to avoid it if you can.
All right.
Yeah. So there's that. So yeah, doing that. And then finishing some oak. I got some photos here. I posted some photos today as a little sneak preview because episode 5 of the Holzfäller Woodworking is up today or yesterday probably. Okay. But then a little sneak preview of what's to come on the other side. So we're going to have there'll be videos all about how to build that bench with the drawers you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a solid oak top there, which you can see it started out as that ugly looking plank down there. And that's the thickness planer. I used that to get it and then glue it together with the new. Oh, I bought a, Here's controversy, Adam. Controversy, mm-hmm. I think they say in England. I bought a biscuit joiner.
Mm.
Yeah. Not controversial to you, but there's some people absolutely hate them, and I don't know why. So I picked up one of those to join those two boards together, and it did a marvelous, marvelous job. So all you haters can just hate elsewhere. It worked.
Okay.
So that's it. That's glued. That's two boards glued together and using biscuits and sanded down. That's the first coat of, I don't know, oil. That's not oil. It's like heart. It's called heart oil in German, but lacquer for your pea brain.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So there you go. That's what's been going on here at the Holzfäller.
Okay. All right.
Be sure to check it out. Like, these episodes are coming, but so,
oh,
be sure
I should to ask, like, how's it going? You got your numbers? Are they shredding? Is that, what are the kids saying these days?
I don't know what the kids are saying.
Is it blowing up? Is it?
I'm not blowing up. No, it's climbing.
Are you breaking
climbing.
The internet?
No, it's climbing. Absolutely okay. Not. Absolutely not. No, like I said, I don't expect this to like. This is the kind of thing. It just doesn't happen overnight. But if it could happen by Friday, that'd be good. I would like that. It does take a little while. I haven't been out promoting as much as I should be, as we talked about last week, because I literally have spent every second in the workshop building. So I finished up the laundry side, got all the molding on and all of that stuff and all the paint and everything's done there. That's 100% finished. And now I'm just trying to get the bench done. So,
okay.
Hopefully this week, I guess, with my son being home tomorrow, I guess, from school, I will probably spend some time doing some marketing, get the word out. Hey, everybody, check out the Holzfäller. All right.
Okay.
You know what my son and I have been doing? We'll do some photo stuff eventually. You know what kind of fun we're having over here at Casa del My House?
What?
Well, for his birthday, I think I told you before on the show, he got a Nerf gun for his birthday, right?
Okay. You might have told me, yeah.
Yeah, like a good, I told you I shot him in the eye with it.
No, I don't think you told me that.
Oh, no. Okay, so real quick then. So he, for his birthday, his buddy bought him a Nerf gun. It's got like a revolver kind of. It's got like six shots in it. And you get a cock at each time, but you can just fire away. And it's...
Wait,
it's
are they the little ball Nerf bullets, or are they the like long elongated
the
ones?
The bullets, like the long ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but they got like plastic tip on them. So they're not all mm-hmm. Nerf. They're Nerf mm-hmm. up to the very end, and then it's dipped in poison. And so... So anyway, so on his birthday, he got it, and his buddies were all over, and you know what, you know, 8-year-old boys will do, and they're acting up and kind of shooting it around, and I was like, and they're getting a little out of sorts, and I said, you know, I want to teach my son the lesson. I was like, hey, this is gonna hurt. You're gonna hurt somebody. I went to show him, like, shoot him in the leg, to show him how much it hurt, so he knew. But those things aren't exactly sniper rifles, and so
right.
I went to shoot him sort of in the waist or whatever it was, and sure enough, it flew up and hit him directly in the lower eyelid. And
that's not good.
No, I actually freaked out because it was like another couple millimeters and he actually would have lost his eye.
Like
100% would have lost his eye. And he's fine. He walked it off and nothing, no damage, nothing. But I was like, oh my God, like taught him a valuable lesson, but that's not how I wanted to do it.
Right.
Like, here, juggle some chainsaws. And so... I was like, holy cow. Like I was legitimately, I'll admit, I walked out of the room after he was okay. And I was like in tears a little bit. I was like, I can't believe I just did that. And, so for Christmas, he got two pairs of safety goggles.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I remember Jack having Nerf guns going through that time frame, and right off the bat, like, I'm a better parent than you. We made them wear safety goggles. Yeah. And even when I played with them, I had them. We bought like a six pack of just like, you know, like the ones you'd wear to do your science experiments. They kind of not full goggle, but they're basically like glasses, but cover all angles. Yeah. They're awesome.
Oh, see, I bought two pairs, one for me, one for him, obviously, because we do Nerf fights. But these are like essentially like ski goggles.
Oh, okay.
Strap on. They're awesome. And so we do Nerf fights now, him and me, except for I made a new rule. I was like, you can only wear shorts. That's it.
Oh, I thought you could only aim for the face.
Well, we do that too, because if you get hit, because I've hit him in the ear a couple times, and it really hurts. And he's hit me in the face. Like, he got me in the lip, and I wish he hadn't. That's how much it hurt. I was like, oh, wow, we should not do that. But before he wore like a big hoodie and stuff like that, and I was like, well, that's not, because I my gun is like this little two shooter. It's all it is. He got the big six shooter. Mine's a little tiny thing, right? And obviously, and so I was like, well, that's not fair. So he just wears like a big hoodie and comes out and just blasts away because it doesn't hurt to get hit. And I was like, no, new rule. We only wear gym shorts, like no shirts, nothing. Like you got to go in there with the goggles and gym shorts so that you get hit, you know it. And so it turns out you get bruises from these. So I'm in there shooting my 8-year-old and I keep hitting him in the ear. That's what I aim for because it really hurts to get hit in the earlobe.
Yeah.
So
now your gym shorts are more like the John Stockton's, and he's kind of more like the Steph Curry's, right?
Mine are like the Michael Phelps. I'm in Europe, buddy.
Michael Phelps. Nice. So,
yeah. So anyways, good time. So yeah, so we're both of us are covered in bruises every day because we do this every day.
There is like, I saw some, again, it was in a kid's toy store around Christmas. We were looking for puzzles and games. And there was this thing in the toy store that was like, it was a target practice thing for Nerf guns. And it basically hovered, like, I guess it was air that was basically like a fan sort of thing from underneath. And it would sort of levitate these little targets, and then you would pick them off from across the room. And I thought, hey, this would be a lot of fun, but you know, because sometimes you just want to shoot off the Nerf gun and you don't have your partner in crime to kind of chase around the house. So it was essentially a one person game of like target shooting, but yeah, it was kind of cool. So maybe check that out. I thought, man, I wish Jack still had his Nerf guns because we would do this.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Wish list. All right, let's get into photo stuff. Reminder, monthly challenge is white. Put that on Instagram. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both of those things and tag us at two hosers. And we'll be sure to check that out at the end of the month. Beginning of next month, really. We give everyone the full month
to get that in.
Okay. Did you shoot anything interesting?
Did I? Oh, a couple of photos for Sunny's Instagram. That might have been interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so Sarah's been continuing to launch Sunny. We put her in the midst of a group of stuffed animals, and because we definitely joke that she sort of looks like a stuffed animal sometimes, and you just catch her in a still position like she is a stuffed animal. So yeah, there was a
like that scene in E.T.
I can't remember. I've seen E.T. a number of times, but I don't remember. Oh, E.T. hides in the stuffies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. Yeah. So I put her on the beanbag with a bunch of stuffies around her, and then used window light and shot that and thought it was pretty cute. And Sarah put some thing about like hanging with my crew, something along those lines. It was pretty cute.
I'm going to start seeing posters of your dog in dentist office, right?
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. She's the way the dog Instagram world works is funny because, you know, you follow other dogs and then dogs follow you. And clearly, I don't think it's the dog's paws would make it difficult to operate phones. But this is a thing, this world of dog Instagramming. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah. And I love seeing people's photos and what they do. And there's a lot of creative people out there now that are dressing their dogs up in costumes and all sorts of stuff, but it's some really good photography. I mean, some of it's simple and just on their phone, but a lot of legwork in terms of getting their dogs ready for these photos. So it's fun to see what people do. But yeah, Sunny was hanging with her crew. Check that out on Instagram.
A buddy of mine years ago, before Instagram really took off, he was on the Facebook, which I'm sure you've heard of. Mm-hmm, and so what he had done, just sort of as a joke, he went and downloaded a whole bunch of cat photos from the internet, like just random cat photos. Where he found them, I do not know. And then he had a little program. He had it all pre-programmed to every day release a new cat photo on this Facebook group called Cats Fancy or something. and he ended up getting a ridiculous number of followers. Like, he just set it to release one every day and walked away, just didn't do anything. And then checked back like a long time later, just had a bazillion fish on there, like crazy. And then somebody offered him like $20,000 to take over they wanted the group.
Okay.
And he said no. Hmm. And then like 6 months later, it was worth nothing.
Missed the window.
Kind of wish he had that 20 grand now, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty Bitcoin, so I don't know. Anyways, we went sledding, so I shot some more of that. So there's my son and his buddy sledding.
Nice. I like it. His buddy looks a lot like me.
A lot like you. I didn't bother asking permission to post the picture, so I was like, well, I got to crop the kid's face out or blur it out. I'll just put Adam's there. So you look good, buddy.
Yeah. Sam's towering over me, though. I wish I was the big kid. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big cat. So
it looks funny when you see yourself as a tiny person next to someone who's already, you know, much smaller. Like it's funny. I laughed when I saw it. At first I looked at it and I was like, huh, that looks weird. I'm like, wait a second.
That wasn't my intention when I first like published this. I was just gonna go blur it out. And then I thought, wait a second.
No, it's funnier this way for sure.
We could add him. Yeah, this is just about 20 minutes later. My son almost murdered a kid.
Oh no!
With his sled. Oh, he came bombing down the hill and just about ran over some kid. Yeah, it was not. It all worked out. It all worked out. No one got hurt.
I feel like this could be a thing where, you know, if you have someone you want to cover up in a photo, you just put put my face on it, right?
I think this might be a thing. We might have accidentally created a meme. Yeah.
It's sort of like when people used to like, you know, take their trolls to different places. Is that still a thing where they travel and they just like,
hey, she's your wife.
All right, I'm gonna not mention that you said that.
You said it.
But maybe this is the photography thing. Like you Photoshop whoever's face on, but you have to keep using the same person. It's only funny if you keep doing it with the same person.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna post the photo, the full res photo of Adam's face on the Two Hosters website.
Great.
People can grab it and they can Photoshop him in wherever they like.
Yeah. That's the problem with the internet right there.
Yeah. That's the problem with the internet. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That would be it. But
all right.
Anyways,
yeah. I just think we opened Pandora's box here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not full res. Maybe like half res.
Half res. I'll half res it.
I feel like the FBI is going to be looking for me after people do some stuff with those photos.
No, you can do whatever you want now because now you have plausible deniability.
Oh, right. Yeah, we can always go golden. Back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Life is good like that. All right. Where are we at? Photo challenge. Oh, by the way, just a quick mention about the sledding. I didn't post anything, but wow, is the GoPro good for sledding stuff? Like when you're out, because it is obviously it's so small, it fits in your glove almost. But it is so tiny, and you get such good video of your kids sledding. If you need video of your kids sledding,
but aren't you putting it on the sled? Like, aren't they like wearing it? Like, don't you have the big vest that's got the camera from their perspective? See, that's what you need. You're really blowing it.
Yeah, except for my son will kill it. He will absolutely crush that camera.
No, you need that. You need that video from his perspective as he's launching through the air and pummeling through small children.
Yeah, that'll be evidence. We'll call that.
Yeah.
So no, didn't I send you the one from last week where he almost hit that tree?
And no, he did not.
Oh yeah, it was. I was impressed, but he was good wipeout on his part. But yeah, that's why. Because I can always have another son, but GoPros like those are like $400.
Yeah, they're expensive.
$300. All right. Photo challenge. This week was not my kids. That was the photo challenge.
Right. Tough for you.
Which I thought you were going to go full on your kids just to rub it in my face.
No, my kids are never cooperative when it comes to photos. So it's right. Or not anymore anyways. They're like, yeah, just take a picture of the dog. They just, that's where they're at.
Good, so good for them.
Yeah, they love the dog because that takes all the photo pressure off of them. But no, I went in a different direction.
You went Ready
yeah.
Player Two here.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. I was like, all right, trying to do a similar take on the poster from Ready Player One.
I recognize. I've never seen the movie, but I recognized it right away.
And I could have like made it even more Ready Player One, but then I wouldn't have been able to get the Two Hoser shirt. So I wanted the Two Hoser shirt because the actual poster is a lot tighter on, like, you know, it would have been more like a head and shoulder shot, like just cropped just right beneath where my collar was. But then I would have had to do something with the hosers on the mask or on the whatever it's called on the headset. So yeah. I decided that I was going to use the shirt to really kind of sell the Two Hosers part here.
Yeah.
And then do something on the front of the face. So I went with the make better photos. Yeah. That was Sarah's. She's like, what does Al always say at the end? And I said, make better photos. She's like, put that on the mask. Cause I wanted to put the Ready Player Two or Ready Hosers something. Went with the make better photos. Thought this was a good ad for all those people. Will be like, what is up with that? It's kind of, if you don't have context, just seeing this photo, you see the Two Hosers and make better photos, it's kind of confusing. There's no camera in it, nothing. So there you go.
Yeah, that's well, yeah, okay. And I'll ask the question that is on everyone's mind.
Okay,
when you're shaving your neck, how do you know where to stop?
If you don't zoom in too much, but those like hairs, base of the neck, upper chest there, they're pretty gray.
Yeah.
It's a lot of gray and white there.
I'm throwing rocks, man. I'm a guy in a glass house throwing rocks. I have the exact same thing where it's like, yeah, I don't know where to stop either. You know?
And the beard too is like, I think it's more white now than it is black. Like, it's not good. No.
Why? Who cares?
Soon it's going to be all white. I don't know. In terms of the photo, let's just talk photography here because I quite like the photo. This is the white. This is just the white wall behind me because our walls are all white. And then pretty much completely side lit. So just two lights in umbrellas. I'm just pulled away from the wall and then just basically one on each side. I'm standing right dead center in the middle. And then you kind of get that, you know, nice light on the shoulders and sort of brings you away from the background. So I don't get any like hot spots on the background. And then I don't know, just the way the light falls where it's kind of dark down the middle or darker. I shouldn't say dark, but darker down the middle. It's easy to do and it just looks cool. Like, again, I'm trying to create a futuristic looking sort of photo, but just in terms of a way to light anything, this is, I guess, is it considered clamshell? Like it's side to side. Is that still clamshell?
I don't think so. This is more of a shape. Like you're shaping it. It looks really good. And this is both hard light. These are soft lights.
No. These are in umbrellas. So shoot through umbrellas. So shoot through, but really, really close too. Like I basically just out of frame. But I just like how the shirt pops and the wrinkles and stuff, like the color, all of it. There's nothing done to this photo other than I brushed the headset a darker gray just so that the letters would show up more. So there is kind of that contour anyways, but I just brushed the middle more of a gray and the end. Yeah, that's pretty much. You know, I darkened the liner around the headset too to make it black because it was this greeny color. You put these like silicone covers on the headset so that you don't like perspire into it. You just pull them off and wash them because if you sweat or whatever. Okay. So I just brushed it a black because I thought it would look better just as black than this greeny color that actually sits around the headset.
All right. Well, I will watch the sequel to Ready Player One.
There you go. Yeah.
Without even watching the first one.
Ready Player Gray. That's what we'll call this one. Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's got to be something in there. Yes. 50 Shades of Grey. Is that a movie? You could do that.
No, but someone's going to Photoshop me now onto that. So thanks for that.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. So here's mine. little bit, a side note about what the impetus was. First of all, I couldn't shoot photos of my kids, which is kind of all I do. So I don't know about you, but I don't go anywhere. Do you go anywhere?
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah. So go very few places.
Yeah. So couldn't do that. But one thing I do need to do, and one of my plans this week is to go around the house and shoot essentially product shots of all the things that I have made up until I started doing the YouTube channel, like all the things I made prior to that I didn't film. And so I need to basically promote my Instagram feed. By the way, I'll do that here, Holzfäller Woodworking. I'm tagging myself in Two Hoser stuff. I'm tagging Holzfäller, so you can go follow that if you like. And so I'm going to go around and shoot product shots of basically all the things that I've built up until this. It's been bookshelves and what have you, all the things. But I thought I would start with the Canadian flag that I would build for you if we lived in on the same continent, by the way.
Okay.
Also, if you want one, I don't know if you want one or not, a Canadian flag, like a wooden Canadian flag.
I'd love it. Yeah, I would love. Yeah. Can I put my order in?
Yes, I will. Okay. I will get one to you. But this hangs in my son's room, and so I wanted to just shoot a shot of that, and there it is.
Mm-hmm. Looks good. How big is this thing?
You know, like a size of a flag.
Is it? Is it? Did you do it to scale?
I don't know about scale. That's not true. It actually is scale. Good point. In terms of, but what is the size of a Canadian flag? Like, they vary.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But in terms of actual scale, yes, I downloaded the actual maple leaf, the actual flag from the Government of Canada website way back when. And so the proportions of like the red stripes and the maple leaf are exact. And so, nice. How big is it? Like, I don't know, a meter across? Okay. And whatever that means. So it's a 2-to-1. So is it like 50 centimeters high, 100 across? Whatever it is, it's substantial. So it hangs on his wall.
Nice. And yeah, it looks good.
So that'll go up. This one's a little stylized. I think I'll probably reshoot it without being still. Because I lit this. I even got a couple lights out and kind of raked some light from the top and gelled them. And I thought I better go all in on this. And didn't need to, really.
Okay.
So there's that. Anyway, product shot number one.
Yeah, the paint scuffs show up probably better this way too. I mean, if you had really good window light, I'm sure you could have done a good job depending on the time of day and the proximity of this on the wall to where the nearest window is. But mm-hmm. I feel like you could probably get a good shot of this with window light, I'm guessing.
Probably. It's right by a window even. So there you go. How familiar are you with chalk paint?
Not familiar.
Yeah, this is chalk paint. It's actually kind of a fun process to do. You get the wood all glued together or whatever. Like you get that sort of screw together. It's not no glue. And then you spray paint the entire thing black. Whole thing just black underneath.
Yeah, sure.
And then paint the entire thing white with this chalk paint, right?
Okay.
Once you do that, then you paint the red on top with red chalk paint where it goes. And once that dries, you take like some sandpaper and just start scuffing. And so it'll scuff through.
Why the black though?
It does the edges. It's hard to see in this photo, but around the edges is where it looks weathered. If you see it in real life, it actually looks like it's old timey.
But you couldn't have done it just with the white and the red?
Well, no, because then you'd see the wood through it. Like the idea is that it's been outside and kind of got that brown. Usually you would use brown or black or either way. And so around the edges, especially if you look close, you can't see in this, but in person you can see the edges where it like the black sort of comes through and it looks like it's been weathered. And sort of the bottom, like below the maple leaf on the left hand side, you can sort of see some black kicking through there, and it looks like it's scuffed up and dirty. So. And then once you do that, you scuff it all up and then cover it with a wax to seal it up. And there's that.
Nice.
There you go.
Now do you have to pay? I was going to say, do you have to pay some royalty to Don on this?
I feel like
he's got this market covered. I feel like I shouldn't be saying this because now Don's going to get after you, but
yeah.
I don't know. Looks like it's inspired by Don's leaf photo. So
really, really isn't even close. I did get a nasty phone call from Trudeau though. And about something else. This has nothing to do with this.
Is this licensed?
Yeah. Yeah. Trudeau was being a whiner about something. So whatever. It's fine.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. See you, JT. All right. And so there's going to be a whole bunch more of these. I'm going to go around and shoot when I get a chance, shoot all the stuff I've made and do that. So, okay. Topic this week, Adam. Had it all dialed in.
What?
Now, let me start. Here we go. Here we go. I'll start with the topic and just see what you think. First of all, it got to me because I was building things in, like building the bench that you saw, and I needed some new router bits to put like a very, obviously you don't want a sharp edge on your bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
So typically you'll do like a simple roundover bit. Well, I have one, but it's kind of a large roundover, so it's very pronounced. And so when it comes to stylized things like this, I don't want to have a big round edge. That's very South German for whatever reason. That's a topic for another show, I think. So I have a very large
round. Can I have a question? I have a question. Is this a photography podcast?
Yeah. So
okay, I ordered, just making sure.
So I needed to buy a 1/8 inch or 3.2 mil, whatever it is, roundover bit. And when you go to the stores here, you go to the big box stores, your Home Depots, that's Home Depot in German. They have the kind of the crappy stuff. They don't sell the good things. They sell the sort of the consumer level, you know, here, get these, you know, hey, they're four for a dollar. Go ahead.
Okay.
And when you have a router bit spinning around, first of all, safety wise, you kind of don't want that. You want something good because it's dangerous, but you also want to have you want to have good cuts. And so if you get like the cheap bits, they don't always, but they can burn the wood and that doesn't look good. Then you're sanding. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and get the real router bits, but I had to order them. And so, what I paid for one router bit, I could have got a set of six at the big box store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except obviously quality. So that got me to thinking about photography.
Oh, here we are. Okay.
And I always keep hearing. The guys, the super high-end pros keep saying, oh, gear doesn't matter, and yet they go out and get the best gear.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was going to ask you the question, Adam, does mm-hmm. gear matter?
Yeah, it does.
Hold on. Then I realized, did we not literally do this topic like 5 weeks ago?
I don't know if we did this topic. We've done it for sure before. I want to say like 5 years ago, we talked about gear. And I think that was okay. At the point where I probably maybe just got the 6D, or maybe it was before I had the 6D. I don't remember. Usually it comes up when we get new gear, because I think we've from the beginning kind of said, you know, you don't need all of the gear. Like you certainly gear allows you to maybe experiment and try new things that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise, like having, you know, three flashes allows you to use three flashes, or having a 70 to 200 allows you to change how you would photograph versus if you only had, you know, an 18 to 55. So there certainly gear does matter to an extent. Now, can you make great photos with only a 35 millimeter? Of course you can. I think there's no argument about that. And some people are just, you know, really creative, and they see things in a way that maybe others, including myself, don't see things. And so you can always make good photos with what you've got. It's just that, yes, if to say that gear doesn't matter would be a little bit of an overstatement, I think. I think gear really does matter. Maybe not in this context. Let me say one more thing. In terms of what my final stance is on this, is that if you have like great gear, and I would consider that new camera that I have, like the 6D was a very good camera. And at the time, I might have even said a great camera. It's all relative to what I've used in the past. Now, the one that I have now, the RX6, like I would have a hard time arguing that against anyone who said it isn't a truly great camera. And great in a sense that it's now that I've used a lot of different types of cameras, it's an absolute pleasure to use. Like the way you feel about the X100, I think is the way I feel about the RX6, is it's an absolute pleasure to take that camera and photograph anything. It's just, it works the way I feel like my brain works and how everything is just intuitive and easy. And it just like, it sort of thinks the way I think. And so that makes your photography better. If you want to pull the camera out of the bag, that's probably the biggest influence on whether or not gear matters. So if you have a clunker and it's might take great photos, but it's a pain in the butt to use, I think that that's a major barrier to your creativity. So the RX6 and having technology that
I love that you're not even calling it by the proper name, by the way.
What is it called?
Just the R6 only. You're adding an X.
Yeah, so I like X's. Yeah.
Unless you have an experimental version.
No, I have the better version in my mind. So it's the RX.
Yeah, sorry, Canon.
I renamed it. But I have the RX6. So no, but I think that's the main thing as to why gear matters, is you have to have gear that really you truly like to use or love to use. And then that's the biggest, you know, difference maker.
So the question, like the original question to me is like the way it was posed to me is that, or I was going to pose it to you was, have we been lied to by these people? And I think we have. I think they were lying. Gear does matter. To echo exactly what you're saying, absolutely it matters. Those expensive L lenses are excellent. But here's where it hits me, because I'll go back to the woodwork example, for example, twice in one sentence. The my workshop area is extremely small. Like I am I'm limited to how much I can do in it's probably a little bit more than 100 square feet. Like it's a tiny workshop as workshops go, right? And so does the size of the workshop matter? Yes, it does. It absolutely does. However, I'm not going to let that be an excuse. And so that's where I think the gear does matter. Yes, you do. It makes a big difference to what you can do. Do not let entry-level equipment be your excuse for not taking photos.
No, or having great photos. I think some of my favorite photos that I've ever taken, and not just from the standpoint of nostalgia, but from the standpoint of technically what I like to look at, came from my first year or two of photography.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can look back on those photos and say, no, they are like, how did I get that? And again, some of it's just luck, happy accident, don't know what I was doing. And so I was just experimenting with settings and light. And sometimes you just get lucky. But that's the thing, is the more you know, the more you try to fine tune. Sometimes there is a cost in terms of, you know, creativity, because you already have a preconceived notion of what you're trying to take. And because you understand your camera and the settings so well, you can get to that vision right away, as opposed to completely have no clue and just experimentation, and then you get great photos when you have no idea what you're even looking for.
I love the fact that you've just chalked it up to luck. I just got lucky.
I don't know how else I could explain some of the photos that I took early on when I didn't know what I was doing.
You knew a little, you knew enough to be in the right spot.
I knew
spot,
a little bit. I still think there was a fair amount of luck involved. Like
often I look back at like photos I took 10 years ago or whatever, and it's not even like, oh, I like that photo. It's, am I getting worse?
Yeah.
Like what? I should have, that was, and do you think that, I think part of it too is the surroundings of you taking that photo have melted away of your memory, and all you have is that photo. But yeah, there's times where I look at it and go, oh my God, I used to be good at this. What happened? And, you know, okay. And that was back when I know you don't have photos on your wall anymore, because you have the new walls, but
we have one, we have one photo.
What is it?
It's the one from I took in Montreal of the Schwartz's Deli. It's just sort of a scene shot in black and white, and I got it in metal print and up in a decent size in our kitchen. So. That's it. That's
camera.
One photo.
What camera?
Don't even remember. I have no clue. Yeah.
iPhone.
Or what lens or anything. Could have been an iPhone. Yeah. It's a pretty standard shot. It was just my favorite landscape shot of all time.
Found on Flickr.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Could've. That's how somebody, Don took it. It's Don. It's awesome. He's suing me. It's terrible. So, but on my wall, like I go around the house, is a number of photos. And I would say the camera, because I have multiple cameras. I can't even think of how many cameras are featured on the walls of my house. At least five cameras have been featured. The overwhelming majority are taken with my 40D. Like it just, and that's like the quote unquote worst of my cameras.
Right.
Yet they're fantastic. I mean, I say fantastic, like, but the quality and all that more so than anything, they are out of this world. And, but yeah, I still like, you know, I still want an R6 or I want an RX6 actually. I want to get one of those.
Yeah. They're limited.
Yes. So what you can do with the R6, you can do more with that than you can with the XS that you used to have, the XSI or whatever camera you first had.
Sure. Yeah.
So it matters. It matters. Don't let them lie to you. It matters. Don't let it be an excuse. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And again, don't discount the fueling the passion effect. If you're someone who is gotten sort of stale with your gear, like I'm an advocate for a new lens or a new camera or something to revive the passion. And it sure has worked for me. Like I love that. And again, as much as the only thing is if it's a beater type shot where I'm, it's going to be dusty or something or close to water, I'm going to tend to pull the 6D now. Like that's the new beater camera because I just don't want to damage the new camera. So that's the only scenario where I'm like, I don't want to take that camera because of the new effect. In a year from now, I'm going to probably take it everywhere just because that's how I work. I tend to baby my gear for about a year. And then after that, it's like, yeah, you're coming with me because I want to use the best camera.
That's funny, the emotional aspect of that, because I feel the same way. But there's also an emotional aspect to buying the high-end equipment, to buying the good gear. I find is a lot of times like I'll find that people will struggle with like, oh geez, you know, I can, like for rudder bits, for example, oh, I can get this rudder bit is €2 and this one is 10, or this one's €4 and this one is 8, let's say. The crappy one's 4, the good one's 8. Well, do I need to spend €8? Well, you're not. You're spending €4 for a good one because the other one's not for free. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that there's always that emotional component. And the other component that I always find interesting is people who, you know, they'll go out and buy a new camera and I'll tell them, oh, you know, you should, you know, you really do. You do need one of, you know, something like this. You need this. Well, I just spent the money on the camera. I don't want to go out and blow it all at once. Like, but you have that money. You're going to spend that money in a month.
Right. Yeah.
Why not get it now?
It's like I want to dip their toes in. And yeah. I understand both sides of that. I probably would have agreed with the dip the toes in idea at the beginning, not wanting to like blow money that I might not use or not knowing. But if I'm truly passionate about something, then it's a no-brainer to me. It's like, just get the good stuff. And that's kind of how I've evolved. Like photography is my hobby. Like it is my one true hobby. And so now that it's stood the test of time, I don't mind spending the money because I know it's going to be good value for me and I'm going to enjoy that hobby more. So I think for anyone who's actually managed to listen to this entire podcast or even years of this podcast, they're probably in the same boat, in which case the advice I think is sound. And it's just, you know what, if this is your passion and you can afford the money, like don't go broke on this, but if you can afford it, then 100% buy the good gear, enjoy it. You're going to, I think, get your value out of the enjoyment.
Invest in yourself. You're worth it, man.
There you go. Yeah. And I think that's a good way of looking at it. Like, yeah, you're worth it. Don't go broke over it though. I don't want to get some angry emails about,
borrow money. Get a loan shark. Loan sharks are the best way to go. Best rates these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to support that.
That's terrible advice. I wish I hadn't said that out loud. All right. All right. Monthly challenge for January is white. Hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. We'll talk about that in two shows from now. Challenge for next week, Adam.
Because there's still 1 week in between is what you're telling me. I still don't have to come up with a monthly challenge quite yet. Okay, what's the next week's challenge?
Back to my kids.
Kids, no. Al's kids again. Yeah.
Yeah, my kids again. Back right back there. No
Photoshop
detail.
My face on something questionable. Yeah.
I'm going to. Absolutely going to. Yeah. Ooh.
Thinking, do you have a photo? Can you send me a couple of the photos of your wedding? Can I get some of those photos?
Yeah. I'll fire like those right over to you.
I feel like my face could make a few appearances there.
Oh, that like a first dance kind of thing?
Something. Yeah.
Right. Okay. No. My wedding had a theme. It was the TV show Kojak. So you fit right in. You'll be right in there. Yeah. We were doing that movie Daredevil with Colin Farrell.
That's right.
Check that out. That's a deep cut that no one saw that movie. I didn't even see that movie.
I saw didn't Daredevil have, maybe they did more than one, Ben Affleck, kind of an out of shape Ben Affleck.
Yeah. And his wife, and then Colin Farrell was Bullseye he had your haircut. That's what I'm getting
at. Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. I did see that movie in the theater. There you go.
Okay. All right. I was just trying to pull up cool bald references.
Why would they have not made Affleck get in shape for that movie?
I don't know.
Okay. Just a question I had. Is a superhero, man. Well. Like, come on.
Is he? Okay.
You're better than that. You're better than that, Daredevil.
I never saw that movie.
Now I have to go back and look and see if, because in my mind, again, that movie's got to be, I don't know, 20 years old, 15 years old. I have no clue. And probably. So I'm going to say it's 2001, 20 years old. That's again, I'm making this up as I go. And the only thought I had, I don't even remember if I made it through the whole movie, was like, come on, Affleck, you're better than that.
All right. Well, I'll let him know at the next meeting. And
all right. Yeah,
I might Photoshop you into that poster with Bullseye.
Do you remember when I did the little video? Like, it's got to be now. Kids were little, so I'm gonna say 8 years ago. It was on the podcast, I think, where I did the Flash video. Like, I bought a Flash costume that was about six sizes too small, and I made that like little video with Jack. He must have been three or four, where it was the old Flash and the new Flash, and I got out of bed like fat Flash trying to warm up and stuff.
Oh, dig that out. You gotta find that.
I feel like that was inspired by Affleck's rendition of the Daredevil.
Oh boy. Yeah. Hear that, Affleck? Schwartz is coming at you.
Oh no. Oh no.
Shots fired. I expect a Twitter battle out of this. Yeah.
I think he took some heat over it. I think it was a thing that
I'm excited that your wife now has to fight J-Lo.
Yeah. I don't think she has a choice. She's involved. Huh? I just called out Affleck, I think. But you know what? We should go side by side. I got to find that video of the Flash, because we got to post that Flash video of me like, oh, it's not good. Yeah. My kids still laugh though. The very beginning of it, when I'm getting out of bed and I'm already in the Flash costume and I'm just trying to stretch and warm up, my kids laugh every time. They think it's hilarious.
Awesome. You know how you can tell the show's gone on too long?
We're still talking.
That, but also my ears hurt from the headphones.
Oh, so they heard it like the 50-minute mark or 55 minutes or whatever we're at?
Yeah. Okay. We spent all that time talking about comic books beforehand, so I don't know why we did that. Okay. Anyway, all right, challenge for next week is detail. A detail shot. Shot on detail of something. You can figure that
detail.
Out. Detail.
Detail. Okay.
Right. And then Photoshop your head, Adam's head, onto it. Okay. Websites, Adam, you're on the Instagram,
which I've been a little bit lacking, so I'm going to try to get back on that. But check out Sunny the Woodle. That's really where it's at. Yeah.
That one's probably got more followers than all of us combined.
I'm sure it will if it doesn't already. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to find that information out, but I'm,
I know.
I'm not a lot. I think my kids laugh at my follower number, so I don't know. That's not good, right? When they laugh at you.
I don't really care. I don't care. I don't care what your kids think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're okay. Okay. All right. My stuff you can find. Go to HoltzfellerWoodworking.com. You can go to find the YouTube channel. AlNatridge.com, where you can find some stuff from the early 2000s that I used to do. And then the two of us at TwoHosers.com. Oh, follow me on Instagram on the Holtzfeller Woodworking, by the way. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that is it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.